2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse number 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. It's awesome how my God works. How the service has flown tonight, how his spirit has moved, and then how this message just fits right in with it. Title of my brief message tonight is Being Real with God. A lot of you have already got your praise on. You've already got what you came here for. But there's some that might not have received what they needed. And if you'll just give me liberty for a few minutes, and if you'll preach with me, I won't be long. Amen. The Lord bless you tonight. You may be seated. Take your time, brother. Take your time. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the evening time that David arose from off his bed. David was doing what? More than likely he was chillaxing. I hate that word, but it fits right here. He was chilling in his bed while his men were out at war fighting an army. The king, the man that was supposed to be in charge of them, looking after them, the Bible says that in the time when kings go forth to battle, we see that David was chilling at the house. And the Bible says that he arose in the evening tide, that David arose from his bed and walked upon his roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look on. And we know the rest of this story, how David says, "Hey, who is this?" And they said, "That's Bathsheba. That is, she's already married," in other words. So don't mess with her. But while everybody else is out working, fighting a battle, the leader is found chilling at home. And now he's fixing to get himself in trouble because he's not where he should be. I've always been told that an idle mind is the devil's playhouse. Amen. Whenever you let yourself be idle too long, Satan can come in and he can start to destroy you and start to put obstacles in your way and going to make you trip and fall. Amen. But whenever it's time to worship or whenever it's time to put forth some effort and go to battle, you better be the one on the front lines. Amen. Don't be chilling in the bed taking it easy, because you're going to wind up in trouble. You're going to find out that that's not where you should be at. But you should be on the front lines fighting the battle. Amen. How many of you want to be a frontline battle warriors? Amen. I want to be a frontline battle warrior. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't want to be those ones that they read about in the future and say, "You know what, Brother Bacon was a good guy, but..." You know, he preached pretty good messages, but he didn't put forth enough effort. Or he got everybody else right with him and with God, not with him, excuse me, that should be put in there. He got everybody else right with God, but he couldn't get himself right with God. I remember stories of Brother Davis that he said that somebody had a dream that the rapture had came. And everybody else was gone. And they came to the church and Brother Davis was here. And they said, "Brother Davis, why didn't you go in the rapture?" And he said, "I just got too busy." I don't want to have that, "Brother Bacon done a good job, but..." I want to be real with God. Whenever there's time for battle, whenever there's time for prayer meeting, whenever there's time to worship, I want to be on the front line of worshiping. I don't want to find myself in the back room in bed somewhere taking it easy, wind up getting myself in trouble. I want to be real with God here tonight. Hallelujah. How about you? You want to be real with God tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We find out later on in the story here where David sends for Uriah and he says, "Hey, bring this guy home from the battle." See, now we see that not only is he taking it easy, Now he wants to bring somebody else home that's out there fighting in the battle. See, David's trying to, in my mind, he's trying to discourage people. He's trying to bring them home to cover up something that he would have never got himself into if he had been on the front lines fighting the battle. Amen. Now, when I say fighting the battle, Brother Bacon, what are you talking about? I'm talking about praying. Sister Lozano was talking about this morning over here in the corner. Where are the intercessors? Amen. Where are the intercessors of the church? I remember when I was a kid, there was ladies and men that would stand here and pray for hours after service was over with. They would travail for their families. And nowadays, it's like we just come and pray, Lord, touch my backslidden family. You know where they're at. Be with them. Save them. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's all the prayer we give it. I don't know about you, but I think that they need a little more than that. Because whenever I was out there acting crazy, doing my own thing, there was people that were in the church. I had a mama and a daddy that was praying for me. Amen. I sit on these pews for many, many years. And you can sit on these pews and still wind up going to hell. Amen. Can I say that again? You can sit on these pews and you can still wind up going to hell. Amen. I'm sorry for being blunt here tonight, but it's time to be blunt. All the game playing, it's gone. We got to get real with God, church. We got to let him know that we are about his business. Amen. How many times in the Bible did we find that somebody was trying to, or actually his mama, Mary, was trying to disturb him. And he would tell her, hey, I'm about my father's business. Whenever they left him in the temple, they forgot him. They came back and said, hey, what are you doing? He said, I'm about my father's business. What are you about tonight? Are you about just living your life? We talked about this morning, about our life is just about that long when the rope is wrapping around this whole building for eternity. Where are you going to wind up? But being real with God. So now David brings home somebody and he finds himself in a predicament that he would never been in if he had been out there fighting. And now he tries to cover up his sin. You ever try to cover up your sin? Amen? I have. Does it work? No, it doesn't work. Amen. Because God knows exactly what's going on. But David was playing games. And I'm afraid that some of us here tonight may be playing games and playing church. Like I said earlier, I remember sitting on these pews along with other young people playing church. When an evangelist would come in, boy, we'd be on the edge of our seats. As soon as he'd say something crazy, we'd be like, woo, amen, brother, amen. But then when the next service came and pastor was back up in the pulpit, we would, go back to our same old self. We'd go back to our same old self. I don't know about you, but I don't want to play church no more. I don't want to play games with God no more. I want to be real with God. Guess what? You might as well be real with God, Brother Everett, because he knows anyway. You might fool Mama and Daddy. You might fool Brother Bacon. You might fool Brother Cheshire in the Sunday school department. You might fool these ushers back here. Man, that brother can really dance in the spirit. And then outside these walls, you can live a completely different life. And there's people that have done that. Sad to say. But we got to be real with God. Being real with God. Being real with God. Amen. David sent Uriah to help and try to cover up his sins. There are those people who blame others for their mistakes. This morning, a young man was running here in the church, and I said, hey, stop running. And he pointed at this other person like, they made me do it. I started thinking, you know what? That's just like us in our life. In our spiritual walk with God, something happened, and well, Lord, it really wasn't my fault, And Brother Everett said over here earlier, he said, just like back in the, when it was Adam and Eve, what did Eve say? Well, it wasn't me. It was the serpent that made me do it. Amen. And then what did Adam do? He didn't own up. He said, well, it was the woman that you gave me. Amen. Us, our flesh, we do that sometimes. We point fingers at other people and have them, come on somebody. Whenever you're the one making the mistake and you find yourself backslidden, then you start looking at people and saying, well, I can't go to that church because of so-and-so. Or I can't go to church there because of the way they treat me or whatever. Is it them or is it something that's happening with your spirit? Amen? There's a song that says it's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to backslide overnight and just walk out of church. Amen? It's going to take time. Things are going to happen. You're going to start looking for mistakes. You're going to start. Can I say it? On your phone in church, you're going to start texting. You're going to start looking at Facebook. You're going to, and Lord forbid that anybody would ever be in the sound booth on Facebook during church. I don't know if that's happened or not, brother, and I haven't been back to checking. So I'm just, I just hope that we're being real with God, because we can't fool Jesus Christ. Amen. We can fool everybody else and make them think, man, he's living a holy life. Everything is going great with his life, but you cannot fool Jesus Christ. So you might as well get real with him tonight. Amen. You might as well get your praise on with Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. Because he sees your heart. He knows what's going on anyway. Amen. And what we've heard this morning and what we heard tonight, we better get right with God, because we don't have very much more long. The time is running short. The time is running short. I remember as a kid, me and one of my close friends had done something that we knew that we shouldn't do, which is a sin. Amen? And I knew that my close friend would not say anything to my mom and daddy. And he knew that I was a close friend and I wouldn't say anything to his mom and daddy. But lo and behold, when I got home that night, my mama asked me, "What you been doing today, boy?" You know, that dumb look that a kid gets. "Nothing. What are you talking about?" Something had told her exactly what I had been doing. And after that happened, I went back to my friend and I said, "Did you tell my mom and daddy?" And he said, "No." Scripture says that your sins will find you out. Again, you can't hide yourself from God. Everything's going to be revealed in the end. And aren't you glad it's going to be revealed in the end and not right here, right now? I'm going to pick on Sister Bacon because I can. Amen. But what would happen tonight if we have something rigged up that every thought she had posted up here on the big screen? Amen. Are the things that we've done in our past. Last week was Mother's Day, and we were talking about this, that there are some things that you have done in your life that you would have never told your mama that you've done. But guess what? God knows. He knows. So why play games with God? Play games is going to get you in trouble. It's going to wind up making you lose your soul. Scripture talks about what exchange are you going to change for your soul. I almost said, I don't know why God is working on us like this, but I do know why, because he's trying to get us ready. Two different services, kind of about the same worship. This was a lot better tonight. Amen. Choir, you done an awesome job, by the way. Amen. Fantastic job. But I believe that God is trying to wake us up and stir us. Because there may be somebody here that has maybe fallen spiritually asleep. You may have come to church for so many years. And then on the other hand, this might be your first service, your second service, your 10th service. But I just want to encourage you tonight to get real with God. Because it's time. It is time to get real with God. When you have a loyal fighter like Uriah, David brings him home. He tries to get him drunk and tells him, hey, go home. You know what I'm saying? Be with your wife. Enjoy the time that I have given you. Well, the next morning he wakes up, and where is Uriah at? Outside with the servants. And he said, you know what? I can't go home when my brothers are out there fighting. We need some more Uriahs in the church that are faithful, that are loyal. No matter what is going on, they're going to be loyal to Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm not talking about being loyal to the pastor. I would like that. I would encourage that. Amen? I believe God would like that. But tonight we're talking about being loyal to Jesus Christ and being real with him. Amen. We need some more Uriahs in our time. Amen. That's going to fight the fight no matter what it is. So when David sees that he can't get his way with Uriah, he figures out, well, let's just sit him back on the battlefield and put him out front. And then when a battle gets heated, y'all back up and leave him out there by himself. So now David has committed a sin by staying home, and now he is about to commit murder. But one of the great things about David, he had to pay for that. I want you to know he had to pay for that. He lost the son over that, over the sin. The child that him and Bathsheba had conceived, the prophet Nathan came in and said, hey, let me tell you a story. And David was like, that man needs to pay him back tenfold. I'd have his life. Nathan said, that man is you. Let me just insert this. I said this morning, and I think it would be good for all of us that are here tonight. But the choices that you make in your life are not only going to affect you, but they will affect your children, your husband, your wife, your grandparents, your mom, your dad, your sisters, your brothers and your sisters in Christ. They will affect everyone around you. I had told the youth about a year ago, I said, what would y'all do? What would happen if Brother Grissom done something really, really bad and he had to leave the church? Nobody could really answer that. All of them were like, you know? But how many lives would that have affected? With him resigning the church, how many lives has that affected? Every one of ours. His families. I'm just telling you, the choices and the decisions that you make in your life, Brother Colton, Brother Arrington, Brother Dickerson, Brother Everett, I can name each and every one of you. But the choices and the decisions that you make in your life are not only going to affect you, but all those that are around you. So I strongly urge you tonight to make the right decision, to make the right choices, to be real with God. Let God lead you. Let God direct you. Let him be number one in your life. Like Brother Grissom used to say, shake your head like this right here. Amen. Whenever Nathan came and talked to David, in Psalms 51 in verse number 1, David realizes that he made a mistake. And he says, have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Take away any sin that I might have in my life. And if you're not right with God tonight, I would say write this scripture right here down, Psalms 51 and verse number 1. And when you're praying, pray this. Pray this scripture. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sins, for I acknowledge my transgressions. There are some people nowadays who can't own up to anything, even when they're talking to God. Amen? And my sin is ever before me. For thee only have I sinned. See, now you might hurt somebody. You might hurt mom and daddy or your spouse, but they're not the ones that's going to save you. You can get real with Brother Johnny Cofer all you want. You can get real with Brother Riley up here all you want. But getting real with God is what's going to matter. That's what's going to take you out to eternity. Amen. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Sister Davis, I remember, and the Sister Looney's office over here, I remember as a young person, this is one of the scriptures that she made us memorize. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, David knew that he was wrong. And instead of playing games with God, he was getting real with him right here. He was getting real with God. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. If you look at Acts chapter 13, verse 22, the Bible talks about David being a man after God's own heart. Why? Because I believe that just like you and me, David made some mistakes in his life. He had a couple of errors that he had in his life. And each and every one of us have mistakes that we've done in our life. But David was man enough to own up to what he had done. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David was being real with God. And later on, he was known to be a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he was real with him. And I believe each and every one of us tonight need to be real with God, and we can be real with God. Amen. If you will, stand with me tonight. There's a story that I had came across, and I want to read here tonight. When electricity became available in remote rural areas, one woman went to great trouble and expense to have electricity installed in her home. A few months after the power was turned on, the power company noticed that the home didn't use very much power. Fearing that there was a problem, they sent the meter reader out to check on the meter. The meter reader saw that the power was indeed working properly and then asked the woman, "Do you use your electricity?" The woman replied, "Of course we do. We turn it on every night when it gets dark so we can see the light of our lamps to light them. And then we turn them back off." Sometimes we go out of our way to come to church and to go to church, but we don't let ourselves become devoted and faithful to church. The power is here for you to plug into. It's just like vacuuming this sanctuary. Brother Jeff was up here vacuuming yesterday. He was having problems out here in the hallway, and he ran the plug up here one of these plugs over here, and he said, "Hey, is that plug not working?" And I said, I don't think it does. Let's catch another one on the inside here." And he plugged it in and brought that vacuum cleaner. But I got to thinking, you know, if the source is not right, you can't tap into it. You can't plug into it. But I guarantee you, we got a good source here. That if you're struggling in your life, you got problems, your salvation is not where it should be, we got a source tonight that you can tap into. We got the power of the Holy Ghost that can strengthen your life. It can change your life. Things that you've been battling, it can completely remove from your life. Can I get a testimony there from somebody, amen, that was addicted to something? Hallelujah, and God just removed it from you. Some of you are addicted to nicotine, alcohol, possibly drugs, amen, pornography, and God just completely removed that out of your life. Thank the Lord, hallelujah, amen. There's testimonies here tonight that can testify of that. So if you find yourself in that situation tonight and you need to be real with God, what you waiting for? Amen. Amen. What are you waiting for? There's an altar up here. You can kneel down at your pew. But I want to encourage each of us to be real with God. Like I said before I started, a lot of us have already got what we needed tonight. But maybe there's somebody that may not have gotten that excited. And now when you hear this message, it's convicting you to do something, to make a move closer to God. We got to be real with God here tonight, church. Again, He sees anyway. He knows anyway what's going on in your life. You might as well come clean and confess everything to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads tonight and let's pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Tonight, God, you see our life. You see each soul that's here, God. And at the end of our life, we're going to spend eternity somewhere, Jesus. We ask you, God, not to let this be a one-night service, Lord God, and to feel this, that we feel only this one night, Lord God, but convict us through our whole life, Jesus. As we walk by faith, and as we live our life by faith, God, strengthen us and direct us to the right paths. Let us make the right decisions, God, so the ones that are around us will be affected by goodness, Jesus. Through your righteousness, Lord God, we are made overcomers, Lord God. By your blood, by your sacrifice, we are saved and we are redeemed. We thank you tonight, God, for everything that you have given to us. And for those who have to leave, God, we ask that you would be with them right now. Help them on their journey. In the name of Jesus. Maybe there's that one tonight, God, who hasn't really made up their mind yet. We ask that you would draw their spirit to you right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray, church. Let's be real with God tonight. Amen. I know it's 8:20. Most of the time we're out of here already. But I believe that God is trying to nudge somebody's heart tonight. Somebody's soul tonight. We're not talking about just another Sunday service or just another Wednesday service. But we're talking about eternity here tonight.